Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Janet, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in email classes. Welcome, Janet.
Hi, Jen. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for being with us this afternoon, or evening, as the case may be.
Yes, it's the evening here on the East Coast.
Indeed.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about the email classes. And so excited about the new email class coming up.
Me too. I keep hearing rumors that it's going to be pretty incredible. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you the reason I'm so excited about it is because every time we have done Enneagram email classes before, and conditioning has a way of getting in there sometimes and saying, you don't really know what Enneagram type you are. You really are more than one type. And I love
that's so helpful, isn't it? You really are you. You don't know what type you are. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I know you so well. Yeah.
And when I read that, you know, all of these personality types exist in all of us, and that's what we're going to look at. It was like there was no, like, little place to get in there with. It was like this quiet, like, wait a minute. We couldn't even start in on our usual. And I'm so thrilled about that because I have no idea what to expect, and it just sounds awesome.
Me too. And I love that point you're making. You know, one of the things I love about the Enneagram, so for people who may not know what it is, I won't actually pretend I'm an expert on the subject, but from what I understand, it's these days it's talked about as a personality typing system, but it's based in some, you know, ancient wisdom traditions, and so, you know, nine types, and that it sure seems that each of us tends to have one of those nine dominant types, and that the way we use it in practice is so helpful because it's not, I'm this way, and that's just how I am. But it seems so helpful in terms of not taking it personally, right? So I watch myself do something or approach something in a certain way, and it's, oh, right, there's that orientation.
Yes.
And I love that place of, yes, so what we're going to get to see is, of course, we all have all nine of those orientations. And so we get to benefit from that awareness and also from the ways to transcend that.
Yeah, absolutely. And for people that have not taken email classes, one of my favorite things is that we get to read all of the guide's responses to everyone.
Yeah.
So what I find when I take a class is that maybe I'm looking at something, but I find that it's almost like everyone else in the class, what they are looking at and what the guide has written back, guidance is just, it's all for me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like Project Joy when we hear someone on the phone talking and we're like, oh, yeah, exactly. And so it's just like, wow, so we're doing this on top of Project Joy. With Project Joy, we're just like having a lot of practice opportunity.
That's such a great point, actually, that I hadn't put that together. How powerful to have really, you know, we have Project Joy as a daily practice and then to add the email class to that as another daily practice because there are two assignments a week, so one comes out, well, I don't know if it's going to be the same format, but it tends to be an assignment comes out on Tuesdays and an assignment comes out on Fridays, and then we have two or three days to look at the assignment, and or a day or two, and then respond. And so in my experience, when we're in an email class, I've always got something that I'm focused on, and then pairing that with the focus of the Project Joy as well, that is really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And once again, the other thing is that with the email class, it's a lot of, obviously it's your choice how much you do, but for me, it's like I want to read what everybody's written, and I want to read the responses. And we have as much time as we need to do that. So But one of the things that I like to do is just set aside some time when the responses come out and say, you know, have a cup of tea and just sit and read and, you know, go through them. And so we're listening on the radio show, and then we've got the reading on the with the email class, and it's just all more really good stuff showing that we're all connected. And we're all looking at the same processes.
Exactly. Exactly so. Right. And so often, you know, someone will write in a response that I think, wow, I could have written that, and yet I didn't think to. In other words, I wasn't necessarily seeing it through that lens.
Yes.
And so it is so helpful to have people be looking at things from all different angles.
Yeah, exactly. So I, when I see an email class come, I always, you know, I just don't hesitate. I think I've taken every one. Maybe
wow.
There was one over the years that I haven't, but pretty much every email class. And, you know, I will print some things out and keep them also. One of the other email classes that we've done are the Socratic. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right. Socratic email class, where we are, each one of us individually is looking at something. And then we continue looking at it for 4 weeks. And, you know, it was interesting because I kept some of the guidance that I got and printed it out. And I also kept some guidance that some other people got and printed it out because it was pertinent to me. So it's just the same thing. It's just like we're all in this together.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I love that too. We at the monastery, we print one copy of it also that folks can share. And that just, you know, I don't know how Sherry does it. I truly don't know how she not only reads everything, everyone's writing, but
then
she responds
to everything. I know.
Yeah.
It's completely amazing. You know,
I'm able to read some of the responses from each class, and then after the class is over, I go back and read the rest of them. So it's sort of a month, several months long process. That usually takes me right up until the next email class is starting.
Right, because they're kept up for a while. And I can't remember exactly how long they're kept up for, but pretty long, so that you can, if during that time, you know, if someone wants to say, well, I'm actually going to be too busy during that time, there is plenty of time to catch up. I want to say it's a matter of months that it's still available to read all the responses.
Yeah, well, and if you have a printed copy, there's a way in which, you know, there, I've got my book now.
Yes.
So.
I have so many printed classes out, email classes from long time ago. Yeah, exactly.
A library.
So I would highly recommend anybody who's thinking about it. I think it just came out yesterday or the day before.
Yeah, I just saw the notice as well. That it is open for registration.
I find that... it just ups the ante. It just ups my practice, and it's so powerful. I find the email class extremely powerful.
Yeah, I do too. Yep, it's interesting that there are so many different ways to practice. You know, the Project Joy every day, not in person, but you know, we get to hear each other's voice. We get to practice with an assignment. We've been talking about coming on retreat quite a bit lately. And the email class is its own thing. It really, each one does have a kind of a different lens into the way of practicing.
Yeah, definitely. And then you come to find out that we're still looking at everything all the same. We're still looking at what we're looking at, but it is through the different lens.
It is through a different medium.
And the questions are always... What we're asked to do is to look at something, you know, in our life. Like, how is this in your life, and how does this affect you? And then, one of the things in the email class is that when you respond, you have to respond with 50 words or less, and that is really powerful. I think it was Sherry once who said, you know, if it's more than 50 words, it's just ego talking. It's a story.
Yeah.
And
the movie is a story itself.
Yeah. So to take it down to, because we're all looking at so much, but to not be able to, like, do what we're doing right now and just talk, but rather write down 50 words, you really have to get succinct with what you're saying. And
that's
powerful.
It really is. It really is. I've had so many times sitting down with my response to an email class and actually getting way more to the core of what I'm actually looking at and seeing the, you know, getting to a place of clarity for myself in having to do that process and getting it to 50 words. And then to see what the guide responds back to that is, yeah, as you say, it's brilliant. It really is. It's a really beautiful form.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, Janet, we're just about out of time. Was there anything else you wanted to add before we conclude?
I wanted to add my favorite response I got. It's two lines, if I could. I was looking at making decisions, and this has been something I have just taken to heart and memorized, but the guide said, as long as you're willing to regret, there will always be something to regret. You can't get it right. You can only choose and not allow the torture.
Wow.
Okay,
that was
a jewel.
And that's it, isn't it? Then there, you've got that guidance, and that becomes a... signpost is not the word I can't think of, you know, kind of a guiding principle that you can carry forward with you forever.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that's what it's filled with, is just those.
I mean, a lot of the peace quotes come from the classes, right? Because the responses are just filled with things like that, just short, to the point, here's the deal. If you want to be free, here it is.
Here's the deal. Yeah,
here's
perfect.
The deal. That's
okay,
so good.
Thanks.
Well, thanks so much for being with us.
It was really
Janet.
Fun to talk to you.
Yeah, good. Take care.
You too. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Janet, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you doing?
How are you doing? Doing good. I'm getting a little nervous about that email class coming up. It's true. We kind of write a book in every class. And I think, here we go. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Excited. Exciting.
It is exciting.
Yeah.
So I was thinking when Janet was sharing with us her thing from one of her responses, I thought, you know, one of the things that most fits me for this line of work is that I naturally think in terms of T-shirts and bumper stickers. Right. Mm. That's how a life guidance dropped in for me.
it's very handy. Kind of short, memorable quotes.
Short, and we hope sweet, or at least palatable.
Great.
Mm-hmm. I bet people are going to sign up for that, huh?
Yes, I think so. And Janet kind of touched on it, and I thought it was fascinating that we have these different modalities for practice. We have conversational, like we're doing now, and Project Joy, and then we have the written words in the email class, and then we have in person, the kind of immersive experience when we're on retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And they all.
I haven't thought about that either. Yeah. Yeah. And you combine that with. We are looking at the same thing, right? We're just getting a slightly different slant on it through these different modalities. So Yes, it's good. And this is the place at which I always express my gratitude for the times in which we live, that we can do all
yes.
of these things.
Yes.
And we're
yes,
so
exactly.
fortunate in that way. Yeah, that we can yes. be together like this all from all over the world.
Yes, on a regular basis, consistently,
mm-hmm.
when Mercury is not in retrograde.
That's right. Yes, that does help us out.
Yeah. And I have announcements here.
All right.
Relationships can challenge us spiritually. The ancient sages had a prescription to assist us in navigating our interactions with family, friends, and colleagues. Join Ashwini and Beth in an exploration of relationships using the principles of awareness practice and the Yoga Sutras this Saturday, July 22nd, at our new center in the Bay Area of San Francisco. And don't forget to check out the full schedule of yoga classes, groups, and meditation sessions at center.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Our deep identification with me, the illusion of a self separate from life, masks our ability to be present to that which animates all as our true nature. Join Sherry in an email class August 1st through 25th for an engaging exploration of how our identification with all enneotypes prevents us from directly experiencing authenticity.
Isn't that, I've never heard that. That's kind of sobering, isn't it? It's like I found out what my enneotype was, I thought, well, that's a lot to work with. Now we're getting the news that, no, it's not just that one. It's all nine of them. All right. So it's, yeah, we're going to be taking down some barriers here in the month of August.
Yes. Yeah, well, it's just so brilliant to think in terms of all of them rather than the one of them. It's just
yeah.
fascinating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Recording and listening training is a six-week conference call retreat for teaching six key skills of this valuable practice tool. We think you will find these calls to be fun, experiential, and transformative, whether you are a new practitioner or an old-timer. Two new classes start August 28th and 30th.
Mm-hmm.
The process of fear is how our life energy is used by ego to maintain the ego. Sherry and Ashwini are leading a powerful experience of going beyond the limits of fear at the Transcending Fear Retreat, September 1st through 6th. In Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. It's time to break free of the control imposed by egocentric karmic conditioning / self-hate and practice life's joy.
It is, isn't it? It is time.
It's past time.
Way past time, actually. Yeah, good point.
And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can indicate your desire to get in the queue and make a show by pressing *6 and then 1, and a conversation on one topic of about 5 minutes is great.
Yeah, very helpful.
Yes. Are you ready, Sherry?
I'm ready.
Okay. First caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Brad in Annapolis, Maryland.
Well, hello,
hey, Brad.
How are you both?
Good.
Excellent, thank
Good.
You.
Good, all right. You know, what I would like to talk about is I have this experience happen a lot where I'll be practicing and things are going along fine and I'm centered. And then when I kind of get steered off course, one of the things I always begin to notice now that I never did previously is when I'm getting steered off course, each day that I'm waking up, I realize that I'm still believing what conditioning is telling me, which is making me hold on to the process of being identified.
Ooh, that's good to see, isn't it?
Yes, because it goes to what you say about, you know, kind of pursuing ego and questioning, well, how do I still know that?
Yeah.
With all these different things that come up.
Yeah, yeah. And where do you get to with that? I mean, you realize that, I'm disidentified, and yet.
Well, what it reminds me, and this is one of the things that the mentor told me a while ago, is that every moment is a new opportunity to practice. Ego.
Yes.
Would love to have me stay stuck on the past, not being perfect. And what I can tell from the mentor is the fact that there's an illusion there that there's actually time involved, and all I need to do is get back to the present moment, and that's all I really need to be concerned about ultimately.
Yes, yes. And the other piece of that is so important to question. I mean, people get so twisted up in this idea of perfect. It's probably perfect, imperfect, right, wrong, are probably, I'm guessing, at throwing good, bad. The dualistic notions that most people are just unwilling to let go.
Yeah, well, I use it as a matter of awareness. Whenever I hear that word coming up in my inner dialogue, I really know that I'm starting to get identified.
Yeah.
And so it's always a great indication. It's like that's a big red flag for me when I start hearing the word perfect, you know.
Yes, yes. And it is one of those places for a lot of people where it's what we were talking about on Project Joy the other day. Yes, I know it's not true, but I still believe it. So I know it's what you were just describing. I know it's not true, and yet I find myself still believing it. So each time I get identified, I believe it. But it doesn't seem like I'm identified with ego when I'm believing it, because
yes,
it seems like it's really true.
Yes. Or I also notice while I'm in the process of being identified that there's still awareness that I'm being pulled around by ego. Just doing
yes.
mindless things that are causing me to just, it's not what the heart wants. It's staying up too late. It's looking at the internet until my eyes fall out of my head. All of those different things that when I honor what the heart wants, I always feel fulfilled. But ego always promises a false sense of comfort through indulging
yes.
what it wants, and then it always
yes.
ends up, you know, screwing you over to the point that there's nothing there. It's the work of
right,
the devil.
But it is. It is the work of the devil, but it's being very honest with you, okay? It is, in fact, getting its needs met.
Yes.
Right? You go unconscious.
Yeah.
And it gets what it wants. It gets its needs met. So
yeah.
When we have that confusion that's me talking, then we think, oh, well, this is going to take care of my needs. I'll just get on the internet and cruise around a little while, and it'll be so relaxing and just kind of a little escape from way to wind down from the day. And we don't realize, well, that's not me talking. That's not the heart. That's ego.
Yeah.
So it'll really take care of me. That's a true statement. It will really take care of ego. And it just said that. No, I do this because that'll feel really good for me. That'll take care of me. This is what I really want. This is what I would enjoy. Yeah. It's giving you the straight dope. You're not going to enjoy it. But it didn't say you'll enjoy it. It said it will enjoy it.
And that truly is not me. So
yeah, not at all.
Yeah.
And what and your part of it is getting beaten up afterwards.
Yes. Oy vey. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you.
Because you did that. Because mm-hmm. you did that. And when we step back enough and realize, no, I didn't. Now, my sin in this whole thing is I was completely unconscious. Okay, that was my only contribution to this whole event. I went unconscious and let egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate run the show. Yeah, okay, I'm guilty of that. But the other stuff, no, I wasn't there. Can't say I did that. I didn't.
And the Zen coach that I work with has said that for the longest time, that that's not really you. But, you know, it's not until you really start to become aware yourself that you realize that isn't you.
That's right. And you know what?
A voice.
You know how you did that? You know how you did that, Brad? You know how you did that?
How's it?
You've been practicing long enough that you were aware of the whole thing happening. That's when we know.
Yes. Amen to that.
Yeah. When you realize that you're in the awareness, that you are the awareness that is watching all that happen, that's the moment at which you can see, ah, I get it. I get it. That's not me, because you can see you can see all the characters in the play right there in front of you. No more being fooled. Yeah. All right.
Thank you. In conclusion, I just want to tell you that I'm just so delighted to find a group of similar people to talk about these things. You know, these are not things that are normally discussed as a part of American life and society. And it's just wonderful that we can talk about what is this supposed dissatisfaction and all these other things. So I'm delighted. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say
me too.
Yahoo for that.
Yahoo for Sangha. Yay.
You got it.
Thank you, Buddha.
Exactly.
All right.
All right.
And thank you, Brad.
All right. Have a good night, okay?
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Brad. And amen to that last comment, Sherry. It's just incredible.
We all thought we were crazy until we found each other.
yes. It's like the only sanity we have.
Yeah, and other people thought we were crazy too. And many of them are happy we found each other.
Yes, wonderful. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rochelle from Charlotte.
Well, hello, Rochelle. Long time no hear.
Yeah, I'm around, and I'm here.
Good. What's up?
Well, I tell you, this workshop called Life, I tell you, there's so much to practice around.
isn't it just... a delight.
It is
when
a delight.
When we realize that, when we realize it's not a slog we have to survive and suffer through. It's an adventure.
It is an adventure all the time, and there's so much to see and to practice around. And I'm just grateful for the opportunity. It's like, okay, what's next?
Right. Yeah. It's never boring.
So I had an experience a few weeks ago that I found very inspiring and interesting. Our church took a group, a bus trip, to Washington to the National African American History Museum, Museum of History and Culture, African American History and Culture. And it was
I know it very well. I'm a member.
So we went. And this church group, it was 53 people, my parents' age, in their 70s, the retired people from the church and everything. And we took the bus trip up, and we went to the museum the next day, and we came back on Sunday. And on Sunday when we came back, it was warm in the bus, and we stopped for lunch, and we got back on, and it became very evident that the air conditioning wasn't working.
Ouch.
And it got really, really hot. I mean, unsafe hot. And my mom organized the trip, and I said, well, it's really hot in here. And she's like, yeah, the air conditioner's broken. They're going to another bus is coming to meet us. And made an announcement to the members on the church, on the bus, that, you know, we know the air is broken, and we're getting another bus. And there's not much we can do about it. We stopped at a rest area to get water, and people were getting heated. And then they said, well, we still got to go a couple more hours to meet the other bus.
Oh.
It was 3 hours. I mean, summer in the South, humid, sweltering, and the new buses, you can't open the windows. And and
it's
so,
like hotels.
Exactly, exactly. And so I was really worried because I was like, okay, somebody's going to get sick. These are people who are older or medicine. And, it was pretty, I thought dangerous to some degree. But what was interesting, these are my church members, and these people raised me and everything, but they're spiritual practitioners. And what was interesting is to watch them deal with it, in that there was nobody who was upset or angry or acting out or ugly or complaining. They were really very, calm, like, well, okay, there's nothing we can do. We will just, take it as it goes, and, we'll get through this. And I was, very uncomfortable and just kind of breathing one breath at a time and kind of meditating and breathing type
and
of thing.
And you were one of the kids.
Oh, I tell you, I was. And my niece was 14 years old. She was on the trip. And then I had a cousin who was 10 years old. And the 10-year-old kind of started to get a little bit tearful and kind of whiny, like, this is really hot. And her grandmother was like, baby, I know it's hot, and everybody on the bus is hot, and there's nothing we can do about it. And so we're just going to be calm, and we're just going to take it, and help is coming, and we'll get another bus, what have you. But to watch my family and co-church members just practice around that and kind of practice the faith that it'll be okay was very inspiring, particularly after coming from the museum and listening to the testimonies of people being on slave ships for 3 months and how awful and crowded and awful the conditions were.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had a taste of 3 hours. And it's like, wow.
Right.
And I was like, so I have, it was very eye-opening because just the culture of we'll survive this and the faith that we'll survive this gave me a little bit of insight of how you could survive that kind of voyage for 3 months.
Oh,
and
talk
how
about
you,
admiration.
Exactly.
Talk about
exactly.
admiration.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the same kind of faith and the same kind of spirituality that it'll be okay and we will survive this. And just take it one step. And it was very inspiring to see that level of spiritual practice in my parents, my teaching, the younger kids, this is how we deal with adversity. There's nothing we can do. There's no switch we can do. There's nothing instant we can do. It's going to be hot, and it's going to be awful for a while, but it'll get better. And
we're not going to blame anybody, and we're not going to take it out on anybody, and we're not going to pretend that somebody else has it easy and I'm really suffering.
Oh, yeah.
The
bus driver was really nervous about it and really apologetic, and we were all like, well, stuff happens. It's okay. And they oh, my gosh, they took up a tip, and this guy got this huge tip, and, he was very good and everything, and there was nothing he could do, but nobody really complained or, got ugly or anything. And I'm like, wow, this is how you survive adversity. And so I had that experience. And
with grace. Wow, that's beautiful. Because there aren't a lot of occasions on which we can see people's practice in action, right?
Right.
Because we're all privileged enough that we aren't often in those circumstances. Right, we are people who get on buses and take trips to places and visit extraordinary places and that sort of thing. And we are people who are not used to the air conditioning breaking down and being stranded on a bus with windows that don't open. And so to watch the strength of character that operates in these people that you see all the time, you like them, you love them, but you don't really, you haven't really had a chance to see what they're made of. And it's just such a level of respect, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
And admiration. Yes. Yeah.
And admiration.
And something to aspire to.
Exactly. And I honestly had some fear and trepidation that somebody was going to get deathly ill because it was getting to be that bad. And I came close to say, okay, we have got to stop, and they have going to have to come up and meet us, even if it puts us getting into town in the middle of the night. This is too dangerous. But just as soon as I was about to say that, a cheer went up, and the new bus was there, and it worked.
That was
inspiring.
Good.
And after seeing, you know, the museum, I was like, how did people survive that?
Oh, yeah.
And on the bus, I'm like, okay, I see how people survive. They were calm. Yeah. They were patient. They helped each other. They shared. They taught young ones how to survive it. And that's what happened. So
and as you said, 1 minute and one breath at a time, because it's that if we look ahead and we get into stories about how bad it is and how bad it's going to be, we're not going to make it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for me, it was personally just a form of meditation. I was just taking one breath at a time
I am so happy that you got to go to the museum. It is it's on my list of things that I want to do before too long. I'm really excited about it. I'm excited about that museum and about the American Indian Museum, which I also belong to and haven't had a chance to visit yet. That's good. I feel like I sort of got to go.
Oh, yeah.
You went.
You've got to go.
Okay. Okay, good.
Okay, well, very good. Well, thank you very much. And I'm still out here practicing.
All right. Well, it's great to hear from you.
Nice to hear from y'all. And I'm loving the Project Joy, although I'm just doing the archives because I'm at work when y'all are on here on the East Coast. So I'm listening faithfully. I just haven't had a chance to call in because I'm working. But this is such a powerful thing. I will tell you.
Yeah, and thank you for joining us tonight. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I will also tell you. It's also great because I work so much and I have such screen time and everything that I have eye strain a lot. And so it's nice to have kind of like a verbal email class that I can listen to that I can't. I'm getting to the point where I have to do things to not ruin my eyesight. And so it's a verbal thing, so I can listen to it and not add to my reading screen time. So I love that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. That's another aspect to it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Because it is
very good, and it's verbal, so I can listen. And so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, y'all take
care,
okay? And I'm listening, and I'm following along, and I'm practicing up here, so...
good. All right. Take good care. Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rochelle. Sherry, I'm having computer challenges here, and I'm just restarting my console here. Rochelle, if you could mute yourself, that would be great. And Sherry, I thought I would go to a coaching ad and see if I can get back on here.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Do what you need to do.
Yeah, and I cannot mute you either, Sherry. So.
Oh, I'll mute myself then. All right. Thank you for that.
Okay. All righty. Thanks, Sherry.
Having emptied our teacups in 2016, we are now embodying joy in 2017. Joy is our experience of presence. Availing ourselves of all the support we can as we undertake Project Joy is both wise and kind. Zen Awareness Coaching is just such a support. Through weekly calls, email check-ins, and focused practice commitments, we practice with any life content to see how we are caused to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. Zen Awareness coaches are trained and guided by Sherry Huber. They offer coaching as a way to deepen their own practice and support the monastery through regular donations. To request a Zen Awareness coach, visit livingcompassion.org, click on Participate to find Zen Awareness Coaching. Make 2017 a year of great love and joy.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, I'm trying
to... Is it working?
Here.
Oh, it's not working.
On my other computer. So just give me one second here. Let me see if I can get this
to
work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, look at that. Maybe. Let's
there they are.
Here. Let me see here. Oh, there's a list of lovely people. That's good. Now, where is that list of callers? Oh, look at that. I think we're still good. Miracle of miracles. Shall we talk to another caller?
Yes, please.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Renee.
Hey, Renee.
Hi. Well, I had two things I wanted to share. One is a testimony, sort of, to practice. That I was noticing how if I fall for the story or for egos, whatever, that when I practice, it goes away pretty quickly. So a much shorter period of time of suffering or listening to it, I can, you know, record and listen or listen to Project Joy or just turn my attention a lot of times and breathe and meditate. And it just doesn't stick like it used to, you know, it just falls away.
And Renee,
really
is part of that that you're catching on to it quicker as well?
Yes.
You catch on to what's going on, and then you have these tools and you remember to use them and poof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, I just had that awareness not too long ago. You know, it was like, well, you know, there is suffering sometimes, but if I practice just a little and I catch it, which I catch it much quicker, then it just drops, you know, it just falls away. And I can get back to center pretty fast. Yeah. So I just thought everyone would like
to
hear
I love that. Both of those are really important, aren't they? It's really important for us to recognize, whoa, I'm suffering, or I'm identified, or I think I've been unconscious, or whatever it is that flags us that I'm not here. And then to have all of the practice tools and the willingness to use them, the ability to use them and the willingness to use them so that you can get out of that identification, get back to center, and be okay.
Yes.
It's a gorgeous thing, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. It's amazing. Yeah. And then the second thing is just note, I've had some pretty compelling content lately, just a big transition going on. And I've been practicing with just not engaging in the conversation. Just, you know, if it goes to fear or anger or sometimes even turns into a little bit of hate, I've noticed, about some things. And I just, you know, it's like I can, it's almost like a blocking move is what dropped in. Like I can just block it from coming in, turn my attention to what I want it to be on, and, you know, love, compassion, or I can do a recording about something different, you know, that I want to hear or want to talk about. And it's been working really effectively, the awareness of it, and then I just go, that's conditioning, I'm not going to talk about it, just turn my attention to the recording and practicing even just, okay, what do I appreciate what I did today or anything that's just different than that conversation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Now, so there are people who would hear something like that and say, well, aren't you just stuffing your emotions? I mean, aren't you just denying your experience? And the answer is no, I'm not. I know what that is.
Yeah.
But I know what it is. It's a story. It's a story that mm-hmm. ego is going to go on about to get me into suffering. And I don't want to do that. I choose not. And
right.
you know how to make that
yeah.
choice. Yeah.
Yeah, well, the difference between, I think, the feelings and the story, so the story repeats over and over again to try to
yes.
conjure up feelings.
Yeah.
When there are some feelings, and I have recorded about those feelings, like I let those out and record them and then let the mentor talk to the person or the feelings, whatever you want to call that, and
mm-hmm.
talk to me, the human being who's having those feelings. And then
uh-huh.
if I do that several times, then those feelings start to be, you know, I feel heard. I don't really know what happens. I don't know the word for that, but they start to, I don't feel that way any longer. And then, but then the story is like a loop. It's like continual over and over again, you know, planning things and reviewing
yes.
if I did something wrong and, you know, all the different things that don't really need
yes.
to be reviewed. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and that's such a critical point, that that the story gets told, and we can watch it happen, right? So the first time the voice tells the story, it's pretty accurate. Yeah, that's what happened. And, you know, there's whatever
mm-hmm.
feelings with that. There's the emotion that comes with that. Then the next time, because you've already heard it, so it needs to be embellished just a little. Right, there
uh-huh,
needs to be
uh-huh.
a little more oomph, but, right? And every time it's told, it gets farther and farther out there in order
yep.
to work a person up into the same state. And when,
yes.
you know, as soon as we see that, it's like, I don't want to do that. I know that that's just creating a great big meal for
mm-hmm.
ego to feed off of, and I don't want to do that. I'd rather be here, and I know how to be here.
Right. Yeah. And so there's the feelings that happen sort of close to when the event happens or something
yes.
like that. But then the story can conjure up feelings. And that story, I've noticed, and I've gotten more information after the fact, that may not even be true.
Yes.
The story is not even true, like whatever I'm
yes.
being told. But it's so believable that,
yes.
you know, I fall for it. Yeah.
Yes. And you know, Renee, when we extrapolate a little, so
mm-hmm.
people will talk to me about they're being tortured about something they did when they were 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, you could see in this situation, this is kind of present time. And
mm-hmm.
and the story that you're being told has already morphed into something. First of all, there's a
yeah.
whole lot of information that was probably incorrect in the first place, right? Assessments
right,
and
exactly.
projections
yep.
and all of that. And then as it gets told and told and told, it just morphs and becomes
yeah.
it's a little different than that, a little different than that, a little different. Imagine somebody's, you know, 50 years old and they're being tortured about
mm-hmm.
something that happened when they were 17. The odds of there being one iota of truth in that are zip to zilch.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and even this is a current thing that happened within a
yeah.
month ago.
Yes.
There's still
you can already see it happening.
I don't even know how much is true. I've talked to people who afterwards I get different information, not intentionally, just because I'm talking and I can see where these holes in it are just not
yeah.
real. You know, they're just
yes.
not true. What I was
yes.
being told. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, 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 yeah. Yeah, so
yeah.
that really argues for, okay, whatever.
yeah.
I'm not interested. There's nothing to be done about it. No, there's nothing to be done about it. It's over, it's past, it's
yeah.
finished, whatever
right.
happened. And so, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and in that, I've had insights drop in, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that also was said and told, and it was real, like, insight, you know, like a piece of information
yeah.
that was helpful to me. And then,
yes.
But I was, go ahead. Do you want to say something?
No, I'm just,
okay.
I'm just agreeing that that's
yeah.
how,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
how intelligence gets a chance to give you some good information.
Yes. And the turning away, you know, or turning attention, is such a great description. I never realized what a great description it is, because it doesn't even mean it's a physical turning away, but it's an internal turning of attention. And the word blocking just dropped in, like when you turn in that other direction, it redirects everything, and there's not any attention on that story or that ego or conditioning or that suffering. So it's just been, and I'm seeing it with different content, and it's just so helpful to know that I can actually do that without, you know, I'm not a victim to that voice.
That's right. And when you do that, then that suffering story, that content even, simply doesn't exist. The only time it exists is when we turn our attention back to it, which what you're describing is so big, because that's exactly what happens. We're going along. So say you didn't do awareness practice. This big stuff happens in your life. You're going along. It's okay. It's summer. It's a beautiful day. You know, it's great. Uh-huh. And then here it comes. Well, but blah, 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 blah. And the story starts, and you just feel, you know, your stomach drops and your heart starts pounding, and it's just tossed into a hell state, and there's nothing to be done about it. And it can just do that to a person over and over and over with tons of different content.
Yeah.
Awful. And exactly. So to know that you can turn your attention to the present and let all that go, it's monumental.
Yeah. It is. So lots of practice going on very successfully, and grateful for everything, just like everyone talks about all the time. So
I hear you.
Surrounded by support. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Renee.
Thanks for joining us, Renee. Sherry, you said something wonderful recently as a way to respond to the voices that I just loved, and that was, I don't care. It just hit me like, and you repeated it, and it was like, oh, yeah, that is great.
Because that's so true, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is great.
Yeah. So it's just going on about this stuff. And to get to the only reason that we suffer over it is if we care. As soon as we realize, I don't care. I've got a life to live. I've got a moment to be happy in. I have this here now, and the gratitude that exists here. I don't care about your story.
Yes. Yeah, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And we have another caller here.
All right, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna calling from Seattle.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Pretty good right now.
Oh, very, very good. All right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm calling I want to ask about ambivalence.
You want to what, Anna? What? Say it again.
Ask about ambivalence.
Oh, uh-huh.
Ambivalence. Don't know whether it's my heart or life giving me a message, or if it's ego. For example, I just had physically no energy, and I just feel like maybe I should do the Uber cure or something, but or should I go to Tai Chi class? I'm just not sure
So tell me about your energy. What's going on?
Well, I just have no energy. My muscles feel weak and everything.
Do you feel like you're sick? Do you feel like you're sick? Like it's depression?
No, not so. not like a flu or anything, just no strength, kind of weakness, and like it's hard for me to go to work and that happens sometimes like
okay.
And then it goes away completely. Yeah.
Okay. Is that how you feel when you're depressed?
I don't know. I have never linked that up together. I have no idea.
Okay. Okay. And so when it this has happened before, what have you done?
Well, sometimes I take a day off work and I just lay down. Or I mean, other times I do my activities and things. Yeah, I flip a coin sometimes and decide that way. But
and
I,
so
I'm not sure
if
it's the ego's resistance to doing.
Yeah. So if
not.
if you go ahead and do the activity, what happens?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's different each time, I think. I don't know.
I mean, does the lethargy pass? Do you get more energy?
That's why I'm calling. That's why I'm calling right now to see if maybe you know this changes to test it in a way, but.
Just by talking about it to see if it changes.
Or just by the... Normally, you know, I feel so excited about calling and then I forget about whatever was going on before. So, yeah, I think it's still... I feel like it's still here now, even on the call, kind of physically.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah.
And so when you lie down, you know, you take a day off from work and you lie down. What do you do when you're lying down?
I just sleep. So yeah, I'm not very conscious, I think.
Okay.
So
you don't listen to a lot of negative voices. You
well, I may. Yeah, I do feel about that there's something wrong, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's an interesting one. So, because of course I can't tell. And as you say, often if you did something like calling into the show, you get all that adrenaline going, all that energy roaring around in your body. Then it would kind of kick that experience out. But it's not doing that right now, right?
It's doing it a little bit, I think.
But you still feel
completely.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then here's what I think we should do, and that is start keeping really good notes. So if you get off the call, mm-hmm. and you could go to Tai Chi tonight,
mm-hmm.
or tomorrow.
Tonight. Yeah.
Tonight.
It's tonight.
Okay.
The thing is, I could do it, you know? Like, if I knew that it's actually good for me and it's not there's something wrong, really,
well,
then I would do
here's
it.
Here's the thing, Anna. Here's the deal. You have no evidence that doing things in this condition have any ill effects. Right, it's never resulted in you had to go to the hospital or you got sick for a week or anything. You've done things before and nothing bad happened to you. True.
Yeah. In that case, yeah. But in another case, not listening to my heart, it did have longer lasting effects. But I think this is a different thing, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So here would be my encouragement, and to keep really good notes, meaning record a lot about it, okay? So you're going to watch. You're going to go to the class, and you're going to watch. Not listen to what the voices are telling you. That's not the same as watching. Okay? I mean, you can be aware of what the voices are telling you, but don't trust what they're saying because they lie. Okay? So you're going to notice how you feel as you go to the class, how you feel during the class, how you feel after the class, and then what you might do, I guess you're going to want to eat something at some point, and then go to bed early and listen to recordings. Listen to Project Joy, listen to Open Air, listen to your own recordings, and just fill your system with positive energy. So no lying there listening to self-hating voices talk to you about what's wrong. But use it as a real practice opportunity. So you're just taking this stuff in and listening. You know, you're listening along. You hear something you really like. You stop. You make a recording about that. So it's like a little mini retreat that you're having. And then get up tomorrow morning and see how you feel.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then the next time it happens, we'll do something different and take really good notes and see what happens. It's the Zen Detective Club.
Yeah, that's the one ego does not want me to do.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and that's a big clue for us right there, isn't it? That's a big clue about what's going on. We start, here's the resistance. Now, Yeah, well, okay, we got a program, though, and the program is designed to take us out of that ego grip and put us in a place where we can actually practice awareness.
Yeah. And then I'll listen to the records and basically make a list how many times it's been negative and or what's the pros and cons, and then
You're just going to watch what happens. We have no idea. We've just started our investigation. So we have no idea what we're going to see by the time we get we've collected all our data.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay? Yeah. So that don't fall for that. Okay. That you got to figure it out or find out what it means or no. All you're doing is being aware of everything that happens around this particular event.
Mm-hmm. Without taking it personally.
That's right. You're not going to look to conditioned mind to tell you what's happening. You're Sherlock Holmes. Yeah. You know, you're not looking to ego to solve the case.
Yeah,
okay.
It can be great to find excitement about being a detective.
Yes.
I think you
it's
can
much
find
more
it.
Fun.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's much more fun to be on the hunt than to be the hunted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Well, you're going to let me know, so this is good.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. And Sherry, I think we have time for one more caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Drew from Illinois.
Well, hello, Drew.
Hi, Drew.
How are you doing?
Hello. I'm kind of amazed by I just found at the last minute and heard Anna's call, and it's kind of what I'm dealing with almost exactly, and it shifted my mood quite a bit because I was in a kind of a dark place, and so just watching the universe line up is pretty cool.
Oh, good.
So,
yes.
So I'm glad to be here.
It's hard to deny that we are supported, isn't it, when we start tuning into the miraculous things happening around us constantly.
Right. And when I do the, you know, when I pick up the phone and do that sort of thing, I take that first step, as they say. So, yeah, I'm also dealing with energy issues, and it's been a lifetime thing since I was about 8 years old, and my parents took me to doctors when I was a kid, and I thought it was brought on by trauma, and by the time I was 25, I was in therapy, and I've just, you know, tried everything over the years. And I finally resorted to medication, which brought up a whole different line of thought for me, because it was like I thought I was one person, then I found out that I'm somebody else on medication, and kind of brought up this big question of who am I? And I've kind of gone back and forth on that, and I'm forgetting what my question was. But just living in this place, I think for so many years, I just thought if I were the right person, I would feel better. I would have the energy that I needed. And if I were doing living by a certain standard, if I were better at practice, et cetera. I do a decent practice. I've always kind of been on the fringe.
Well,
my diet is,
you know, Drew.
Yes.
Drew, the thing about it is, it's what everybody falls for, right? Whatever it is, whatever we will fall for with conditioning, that's what it'll get us with. So, you know, if you were a different person, I mean, I think that's fairly universal, actually. If you were a different person, then you would be having the right life experience. And the reality is that's not true. You are the right person. And the reason that you're not having the life experience you want is because, like the rest of us, every time you listen to egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate tell you that you're not the right person, then you don't have the life experience that you could be having, and you're unhappy.
Right.
Yeah. So, that can be, I don't know, I found it completely comforting to realize that, to get that information, that the only thing that was wrong with me was that I was listening to a voice tell me that there was something wrong with me.
Right.
Yeah, that without that,
yeah.
there isn't anything wrong. There's no comparison. You wouldn't even have an issue with energy, because without that voice pointing out to you that you're not feeling the way you should be feeling, you would just have the energy you have, and so that would be the energy that you have. That would be a fine amount of energy, but it's that voice constantly looking at how you are and comparing it. And of course, you know, society, oh my goodness gracious, you know, it's a what's wrong, you know, something's wrong, not enough, society. So everybody's going to, you know, if you are not the way you think you should be or somebody else thinks you should be, then there's something wrong with you and we have to fix that, right? And, of course, coincidentally, there's a great deal of money involved in fixing people.
Yeah.
Yeah? So at an early age, you really got sucked into that, you know, I mean, every kid does. But that's a bunch of adults, adult professionals, talking about what's wrong with you and trying to come up with a way to fix you. So
right. That's
a... Yeah, it's tricky to get past that. Not impossible, though. Not at all impossible.
So to be comfortable or to be somewhat at peace with my energy level is one.
Yeah.
Is kind of what I'm, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, when I, you know, finally got it that I was what is now called bipolar, then the thing that saved me was going from all of these labels that I would come up with, all of which resulted in the conclusion there's something wrong with me, to I have a lot of energy. I don't have that much energy. I have low energy. Okay. Well, if you have low energy, then you tend to move slower than when you have a lot of energy. When you have a lot of energy, you tend to move faster. If it's not a problem, if you realize you always have plenty of energy for this moment that you're living in, then it's not a problem. The comparison is what kills us, not the amount of energy we have.
And if I don't have enough energy for the moment, is that just a
you
story?
Will have.
Or?
You always do. You always have enough energy for the moment. Always. And, Drew, this is a magic spiritual, okay? Let's take it into another, if we take it into another realm, but it's all the same, because money is just energy that we carry around in our pockets in exchange for material things rather than non-material things, okay? So okay. People focus on not having enough money. And you know what? They don't have enough money. When people start focusing on having enough money, because they do actually have enough money, they don't have as much money as the voice in their head says they should have or that they want to have or they need to have, but they actually have enough money. And when they start looking at it like that, now we add the next spiritual element, which is being grateful. So now I have enough. In fact, I'm focused on all I have and how grateful I am for everything I have. And that opens a magic portal. And that portal is what people call abundance. Because when you have plenty, plenty expands. Everything we focus on expands. And what most people are focused on, or a whole lot of people, even people who have a whole lot, are focused on deprivation. And what expands for them is deprivation. So, with energy, when you're focused on how much energy you have, not how much energy you don't have, because focusing on how much energy you don't have reduces your energy. You start focusing on how much you have, being grateful for the energy you have, being grateful for what you can do with that energy, how you can enjoy life with that energy, and that focus will expand the energy that you have.
That makes sense. I'm living the money scenario that you just presented right now. I got poor and found a life of abundance in my quote unquote poverty. And
Yes.
So
yeah. The thing about it is, you know, this is where people kind of roll their eyes, especially in our culture. But if people watch and pay attention, they'll see that it's true. It is a law of the universe. It is how life works. And as you say, you've proved that to yourself in one area of life. And now you have the opportunity to prove it in another area. And, of course, I, who think in terms of miracles, find it miraculous that you got to see this in a tangible material area of life, money, finances, and now mm-hmm. you can apply that same thing to this deeper, older karma of energy.
Yeah. And I've suffered with it a lot. So I think I'm ready to
let it go.
Try something new. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Gratitude.
Because I never get rest, because when I'm exhausted, I just can't get okay with not doing anything.
And that's just ego. That is just ego keeping you stuck in a place of suffering so that it can have the energy that belongs to you. That's all that's going on. That's all that's going on. And it's accepting that and making peace with it. Because what's going to make the difference for you is cutting that voice out of your life. When you're no longer listening to and believing a voice that tells you it's not okay with how you're feeling and what you're doing, when you get rid of that voice, everything is going to be different for you.
Oh.
Okay? Let me
yes.
know. All right. Thank you, Drew.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, talk to you soon.
Okay, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Drew. And that was another fascinating conversation, Sherry.
Yeah.
Just one
secrets
after
of the universe.
Time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you,
sir. It's been
a
great show. Yes.
Yep. It's been a good time. Technology did not defeat you. You triumphed. And so it's a great day.
Yeah.
See you soon.
Thank you, Sherry. Okay.
Thanks, Michael.
Good night.
Good night.